wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. Let us attend. At that time, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place. The hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. To have the mind of the church is to live in the mystery of the Lord's Pascha. The Lord's Holy Pascha is the spiritual substance that shapes the history of Israel all the way back to Adam and Eve. Indeed, it is the substance that shapes the creation and the way that it's put together. It is the substance that shapes all the events of the Savior's own history in the flesh. And it is the substance of the life of the Lord's Holy Church. When we make the sign of the cross and intone, "Blessed is our God, blessed is the kingdom, glory to the Holy Consubstantial," something mystical happens. If we attend, in answer to the deacon's cry, "Let us attend," we feel the prayers of the church drawing us out of the city and into the desert where the Lord is. In time, we are entering the timeless mystery of the Lord's Pascha. Every Saturday vigil leads us with the myrrh-bearing women to the Lord's tomb. And we are granted, if we are attentive, to behold the resurrection of Christ. This morning, we enter the luminescent cloud of the Lord's Pascha as it is given shape in the feeding of the 5,000, who's coming into the desert looking for the Lord, shows the same shape as the myrrh-bearers coming to the Lord's tomb. On Tuesday last, we entered the Lord's Pascha as it was given shape in the Savior's transfiguration on Mount Tabor. This Thursday, we enter it in the falling asleep of the holy Theotokos. Come to the vigil for the Savior's transfiguration, for example. We're not just coming to review the details of the gospel story in a pious remembrance. The prayers of the church draw in our mind an icon that is the real. It's the really real. And through the prayers of the church, we are granted to ascend that icon, or enter into that icon that is drawn in our minds by the word of the church. And we ascend a holy, mystical mountain where the glory of the gospel is eternally present, for it is always today. Our spirit is led out of the city of the world into the desert of our soul and into the cloud of glory of the Lord's Pascha. We become mystically, which means in the church, really, truly, eyewitnesses with Peter, James, and John of the Savior's glory as far as we can see it. For in the worship of the church, we are coming into the living presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the first and the last, who is, who was, and who is to come, the living one who died, and who, behold, is alive forevermore, who holds the keys of death and of the unseen. Here beneath the visible coverings of the church's worship is the spiritual essence of the life we have received in the church. It is hidden from the world, but known to us and to our Savior in our heart. In the cloud of this mystical spiritual plane that is in the world but not of it, then, let us ponder what this morning's gospel is teaching us for our life in this world today. Let's go back to a verse from St. Luke's account of the Lord's transfiguration, which we read at the vigil for the feast last Monday evening. It says, Moses and Elijah were seen with him in his glory. They were speaking of his exodus. Our English translations run right over that, and they translate it with some other word. His departure or his death is how they translate it. But the word is exodus. They were speaking of his exodus, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. His exodus, of course, is his holy Pascha, his suffering, his death, and his Sabbath rest in the tomb, and his holy resurrection, when he would cross over into the promised land, the new Jerusalem, or the kingdom of heaven, in his holy ascension. Now let me read to you from the passage in St. Peter that we read at the Divine Liturgy on Tuesday morning. I know that the laying aside of my tabernacle, he says. Again, the English just runs right through it and translates it as the laying aside of my body. I think there's one translation that says the tent of my body, which is good, because he's talking, obviously, about the sacred temple of his body. But the word tabernacle comes from the Exodus of Israel. That's what that temple was called, the tabernacle, the skinomata. I know that the laying aside of my tabernacle will be soon, says Peter, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has revealed to me. And so I am earnest that each of you do these things in remembrance after my exodus, he says. St. Peter then goes on to relate his experience with James and John on the Holy Mountain when they witnessed the Lord's transfiguration. I want to focus on these two words in St. Peter's epistle, the tabernacle and exodus. First, note how he understands his life in the world to be an exodus from his union with Christ that was accomplished, we might say, in the type of his baptism that took place at the Sea of Galilee when the Lord appeared to them after his resurrection on the shore. Remember, Peter, in the boat, put on his clothes, which is curious, something to think about, because he plunges then into the water. You'd think he'd take off his clothes and then plunge into the water. But he puts on his garments, plunges into the water, and goes out to the Lord Jesus, goes under the shore to the Lord Jesus. And three times he says, yes, I love thee. And you see the baptism of Peter in that story. So also for us, in the paschal glory of the font, Our life in this world was changed. It was transfigured into an exodus, a journey out of the city of the world and into the desert to be with the Lord in his exodus, his holy Pascha. Denying ourselves, turning away from self-indulgence, fighting our passions and our addictions, this is how we come out and away from the city, on the invisible spiritual plane of the heart. It's this interior work, this fight against our carnal desires, the perversion of our carnal desires. This is what makes this spiritual imagery incarnate for us. This is where it becomes concrete. Here's where we enter into the spiritual substance of the mystery of the Lord's cross. Taking up our cross, which is to live the ascetic life of the church, so that the power of Christ's cross is becoming incarnate or active in us, and losing our life for the sake of Christ, that is putting to death what is earthly in us, for the power of Christ's cross made active in us as we live the ascetical life of the church, so that it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. All of this is the hidden spiritual substance of coming out of the city and into the desert to where Christ is in you. This is how our baptism becomes not just a passing moment in our life, but the very root and substance of our life that grows and blossoms as we live our life in this world, not in the world, but in the joy of the Lord's Holy Pascha. Second, note how St. Peter identifies his earthly body as his tabernacle that he will remove when he completes his exodus, when he dies. Now, when Israel came out of Egypt to meet the Lord at Mount Sinai in the desert, here you see again the shape of our gospel this morning. The Lord called Moses up into the cloud of his glory. And there he revealed to Moses the mystery of creation. Creation itself is a cosmic temple shaped by the mystery of the heavenly temple and its worship. And it was according to the pattern of this heavenly worship that Moses was instructed to build the tabernacle that would be always at the center of Israel as she made her exodus to the promised land. Moreover, it was in the sanctuary of the tabernacle that the Lord would dwell in Israel's midst. And it was from above the Ark of the Covenant that was in the sanctuary that he would speak to Israel. In these two words, the tabernacle and Exodus, we see how St. Peter's earthly life had taken for him in his union with Christ the shape of the Exodus of ancient Israel. So also, our body was raised from the font as a holy tabernacle, a temple in which the Holy Spirit now dwells. And in the tabernacle of our body, that is in our body now offered as a living sacrifice to the Lord of glory, we make our exodus out of the city of this world and into the desert to where the Lord is. We find him not in the city of the world, but in the desert of our soul. In our heart, the sanctuary of our tabernacle, in the desert of our soul where we have come out of the city, here is where we come upon the Lord of glory, in the temple of his risen body. The desert in which the Lord is found shall rejoice and blossom like the rose, sings Isaiah. The living water flows from the fountain of life when he is found in that soul that before was a dry and trackless desert, sings the psalmist. The prophet and the psalmist are describing the heavenly wonder of the church's holy Eucharist, the inmost substance of the Lord's holy Pascha, of Israel's exodus, and of the feeding of the 5,000 this morning. At this moment, brothers and sisters, here in the worship of the church, we are all in these biblical moments. And all of these biblical moments are in this moment here. For here we are in the cloud of the Holy Spirit that overshadows the body, the temple of the incarnate God, the church. He is in our midst as the living bread and the living cup that come down from heaven as our heavenly manner, as our heavenly manna, to nourish and strengthen us as we make our exodus through the desert of this life to the promised land, to Christ himself, beyond the Jordan of our grave. You may know that in the ancient church, the Lord was the fish, ichthus, an acronym for Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Savior. Dear faithful, here's what I want to proclaim this morning in all of this. It's really very simple. The living presence of the Lord in his holy church and the mystery of his holy Pascha, which we enter into in every worship service, this is what makes the worship of the church in Christ's holy Orthodox Church so rich and so beautiful. The living waters of the Lord's Holy Spirit are being poured into our hearts and souls. If we are making our body into a tabernacle and our heart a sanctuary where the Lord can dwell, and if we are making our life in this world an exodus, centered not on our trials and afflictions in this world, but on the victory, the joy, and the glory of the Lord's holy Pascha, dwelling in the tabernacle of our body. It is in mindful worship, attentive worship, prayerful worship. This is how we live in the Lord's holy Pascha. And this is how we acquire the mind of the church, the spirit of the church, the wisdom of the church. We come to the services of the church and we experience them to be as dry as dust. Is that a commentary on the worship of the church? How can it be? The Lord is here. We are entering into the mystery of his holy Pascha. If we experience the worship of the church as a desert, that's more a commentary on me, telling me where I am. I'm living in the city. I don't want to be in the desert of my soul. I don't want to be in the Lord's holy Pascha. I want to be in the sights and sounds and the entertainments of the world. That's where my life is. So to come to the Holy Church is to come into the desert and to experience the worship of the church to be dry as dust. But as soon as we open our hearts, as soon as we turn around in our hearts and start looking for the Lord, that's when the worship of the church begins to come alive. That's when we begin to discover that the worship of the church is not a rehearsal of ideas, of religious propositions. That's when we discover that there's a substance in this worship, and it's real, and it's bigger than me. It's deeper than the world. It is the Lord himself in his holy Pascha. In the desert of our soul, let's come to the church then, not as to a desert, but as to the tree of life, who makes the desert rejoice as a rose garden. Come to enter into the prayers, not just to endure them, but to enter into them, to absorb them, receive them into your mind and into your soul, and let them start working on you. You will find yourself entering the radiant cloud of the Lord's Paschal joy. You will find your soul being raised on high. And you should behold with Peter, James, and John the glory of the Lord as far as you can see it. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.